left you, we had three undefeated teams. Fast forward 2 weeks and the ranks of the unbeaten are now gone, with only the lowly Chuck Busters winless. Will the Busters get off the schneid? And how have the Fighting Justins managed to no-login their way to the top of the Hammer Division? We're reviewing games 3 and 4 and looking ahead to number 5 from the Delta Airlines Studios. It's this week's edition of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football Championship Edition. Good evening, everyone. Mike Irizarry, Gary Godso, Jamie Johnson. Time for week 4 in review of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League. Gentlemen, it's been 2 weeks. What's going on?
Been miserable.
Really?
Yes.
Is this like one of those miserables where you just could take a couple aspirin and forget about it, or?
It is a little bit of everything, but I went from 2-0 to 2-2, so it's not been a good showing for me.
Yeah, well, the RH used to stand for rock hard, now it stands for red hot.
Tell me about it.
All it took was a little bit of a dressing down, if you will, to get the RHPs standing erect again.
I have a win, if that makes a difference.
No.
Woo! Okay.
No, I was looking at this morning, and I was just amused that, you know, you and Gary and Debbie are a combined 4-8, and Justin hasn't logged in since draft night, and he's 3-1.
Yeah. Like I said, no logged in his way to the leader of the Hama division.
So we're going to take a pass on the Week 3 scoreboard, other than noticing the insane point totals put up that week. I do want to take just a second to tip a cap to Jamie, who actually managed to win in Week 3 and not put up 112 points and lose.
Very good, Jamie. Yep. I was proud of you.
I came crashing back down to earth with a one-point loss, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, everybody kind of took a bath in Week 4, but week 3... I did want to call attention to the RHPs throwing 158 points on Debbie's Paris Nanomites, who actually had a good week.
Did not have a bad game, no.
96 points is going to win most weeks. She got thumped. She'd have beat just about anybody else on the schedule, almost. So we had all kinds of scoring going on. And poor Debbie was just the one that scored and still couldn't win anyway.
Almost 75 points between Andy Dalton and AJ Green that weekend.
Hey, man. The Red Rocket.
No, it's the rifle. The Red Rocket is something that you're looking at. It's the Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle. 4 weeks in, league MVP.
That's how it's worked the last couple of years. Let's get to the scoreboard. Kick the music! In our first game last week, we'll get the kind of the bottom feeders out of the way first. Paris, first win of the season, only 76 points last week, but plenty to take out the Chuck Busters, who only managed to score 44. Ty Sams getting the big goose egg from Andrew Luck, who was not in the game, did not play, gave way to Matt Hasselbeck. Only got 2 points from Steve Smith, who left Baltimore's game with an injury. 1 point from Rishard Matthews as Miami sputters around. 1 point from the Dolphins defense as Miami sputters around.
Sputtered enough to get their coach fired this week.
Exactly. Let's say Joe Philbin also fired as the coach of the Chuck Busters.
So was the Chuck Busters playing in England while you were there?
No, but they were, really the Chuck Busters are everywhere in some way, shape, or form. Because everybody likes to bust Chuck. Gotta take a look at the Chuck Busters bench. C.J. Spiller, 16 points. Doug Martin, 19 points. Terrence Williams, the Dallas receiver, 10 points.
Awful lot of points, and if he had picked up a scrub quarterback, probably could have picked up the win.
It's unfortunate, as we were talking pre-show about this a little bit, Luck was not listed as out on the injury report, and I think it was kind of a last-minute thing. If you don't follow the Colts, it would have been easy to miss that one before game time started. But Debbie, Joe Flacco, only 8 points. Isaiah Crowell, 12 points out of a Cleveland tailback.
Is it Crowell?
I don't know.
Okay.
Regardless, 12 points out of him it's kind of like the Bishop Sankey game right there. 19 points out of DeQuell Jackson, all over the field against Jacksonville in that Colts game. An impressive performance. I actually got to see some of that replayed on the NFL Network this morning. And it just seemed like every time a Jacksonville ball carrier was tackled, DeQuell Jackson was at the bottom of the pile. So just crazy.
DeQuell Jackson is the top defensive fantasy scorer so far this season.
He's been awesome, frankly. And 11 points out of the man, out of Vinatieri, our annual kicker drafted too high. Drew Brees on the bench, 26 points.
But unneeded. Mike, what's our next game?
What is our next game? Do we want to play the game, which bench could outscore Ty Sams this week? I'm a little uncomfortable doing that because, you know, as even though he's been involved with our league for much of its existence, we don't know him that well.
We will reserve that for Debbie Godso.
All right, then. Fair enough.
I figured Jamie would point it out at some point during the rest of the show. Rule or no rule, hey, look, the Keel Hall's bench outscored the Chuckbusters.
Next game, Pyramid of Touchdowns, riding the ship, getting the 2-2, 84 to Oregon Outpost, 56.
Low scoring week. Whew.
Scoring took a bit of a tumble this week. Russell Wilson leading the way with 18 points for Pyramid of Touchdowns. Also, the Arizona kicker, Chandler Catanzaro, with 18. Sure, that'll happen again, I bet. And then Carlos Williams with 13, Amari Cooper with 10, and some change going around. Oregon Outpost, this one really started and stopped with Matthew Stafford's awful game against Seattle. Frank Gore not generating a whole lot this week.
And fumbling on the goal line.
And fumbling on the goal line, causing that whole overtime fiasco. Calvin Johnson not bringing anything to the table, fumbling on the goal line. There were some near misses in Oregon Outpost game this week. Not a lot on the bench, so there wasn't much they could have done. A lot of injuries going through there already with Ben Roethlisberger. He's deep enough at quarterback with Stafford there that he could probably hold on to Big Ben and be okay.
Jamie, would you hold on to him?
I'd drop him at this point if you have Stafford. The problem here is that what you're seeing is Calvin Johnson's clearly on the downside here. He's just not the same, and I don't know if he's slightly injured or if he's just on the downside of his athleticism, but you're starting to see him not perform at the top of his game.
He's named after a transformer.
Well, it is a little strange. It's almost like he's not playing as physically as he has in years past. And I don't know if he's just trying to preserve himself, or even if it's just a mental thing. It's usually where guys get to when they turn that corner, because they start thinking about the end of things and hanging on to play the last contract. And I mean, you understand it, because football money is not guaranteed money in a lot of cases. But
I think Stafford needs to be more upright in order to give him the ball.
That would help. That would help. A lot of things just not working out right in Detroit, and so I think it's affecting all of them a little bit. 56 points at Oregon Outpost. We might be able to play the outscored Debbie Godso game there, too. Game number three, the RHPs, the Red Hot Peas. 88, Fort Wadsworth, 80.
Hot peas normally a sign of some medical issue.
That's burning pee. That's different. That's when you get your UTI specialist involved. Gary taking the loss to the RHPs. Rock got his club up to 3-1 after looking bad week one. They're on top of things. Gary, you've slid down to 2-2. Once again, I'd like to say that Eli Manning, strong performance. 23 for Eli, leading the way for Gary. Panthers defense stepping up with 17, thanks to some scores. Ted Ginn Jr., a strong game in Tampa as well for Carolina, with 13. Not enough to overcome the more balanced attack from the RHBs. Andy Dalton with 19, Jeremy Macklin with 15, Matt Forte, the rejuvenated Matt Forte, with 13, and then a bunch of guys who, you know, 8 to 11 points.
Roster question, Gary.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tight ends, bro. That's a lot of tight ends.
Well, Heath Miller might be a candidate to be cut, because if you look at my bench from this particular week, Gronk was on a bye, Antonio Gates was still suspended. Somebody just let Antonio Gates go. I don't know if I'll have to look at the transaction log, but I picked him up because right now San Diego's receiving core is just taking an absolute beating. I'm hoping that he's going to pick up some catches in lieu of all that, and maybe I can play him in the flex position. Heath Miller's probably done in my lineup, because I was thinking that maybe Vic would use him in the way that he used Algie Crumpler, but that's not even close. It's clear that Heath Miller is more of a benefit to Roethlisberger and not so much to Vic, so I'll probably let go of Heath Miller and try to find another flex-type position. So, yeah, I look a little heavy, but that's all I had to play that week, really, if you look at it.
Yeah, Heath Miller's a guy who, he's a good tight end. He's a good receiver. He's good after the catch, but that Pittsburgh offensive line is already taking a whipping. He's just blocking. He's not even going out for passes. Pittsburgh's offense, it's a little different than a lot of backups, and that Pittsburgh's offense really hasn't. Most backups, they go in there, they kind of dink and dunk, and they do the check down. But Vic they've kind of gone the other way with it. It's just kind of, he's his own short game, so they're just looking long in the passing game. you saw Antonio Bryant not have a strong week either, and we'll get to him later, I'm sure. But the targets just aren't there for a lot of these guys because they're not open. And he's just – they're trying to make things happen on the ground.
But on the other side, I mean, we've got the Red Rifle. I mean, it's a pretty good lineup. I mean, if the Red Rifle's going to throw the football like this.
Yeah, it's a strong lineup right now. Again, as I said, everybody chipped in. You know, you had the Eagles defense, which did not have a great game against Washington. And Jimmy Graham, who's a solid player but refuses to be targeted by the Seattle offense. Explain that to me for a team that has problems scoring points.
And James Jones is, you know, in a pass-happy offense like Green Bay, with Jordy Nelson going down in the debate who would emerge as the second receiver, the answer is James Jones at this point. So,
well, welcome to your new team, same as your old team. But, yeah, J.J. Watts even gave him 9 points this week, despite the fact that
they got lit up.
Yeah, the Texans got lit by Atlanta and Matty Ice. Might I add my least favorite nickname in sports.
Okay.
What's next, Mike?
The New England No Logins, 85, beating the previously unbeaten Seattle Dreadnoughts, and Zach Hoffman, putting up 66.
Gosh.
I'm going to go over the carnage of the Justin Bell roster right now. And somebody please write to us, whatsonjoemind at gmail.com, and explain to me how Justin Bell is 3-1. Phillip Rivers, huge game, 32 points, huge game. We get that. Adrian Peterson, good day, 15 in the loss to Denver. Then Alshon Jeffrey, who hasn't played, puts up the goose egg. Dwayne Allen hasn't played for 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks, goose egg. Alfred Morris, riding the bench for Washington, did get 6 in the game against Philadelphia. Golden Tate, should be doing more. The 2 points for Golden Tate, I'm going to chalk up to a bad game there. He's got a defensive end for his defensive specialist, and Muhammad Wilkerson is about as good as and consistent as they come for anybody who's not J.J. Watt, but that's still only going to be 6-7 points a week. He got 7. Lions defense chalked up 21 in their big day. Lions defense has played pretty well.
That's 21 points in a Lions loss.
Yes.
Hey, man, if you can't hold on to the football, baby. 3 fumble recoveries and a touchdown.
You don't see often the losing side score you 21 points on defensive and special teams unless there's some sort of special teams involvement with a return or something like that. 21 points at a loss, amazing.
Yeah, that's a heck of a game from a pretty good unit. But then you look at the other side, Zach Hoffman's club, Le'Veon Bell, 20 points, great game there. 16 out of Derek Carr, which is The Marcus Mariota bye hurt him a little bit, but Mariota was probably only good for 15-20 himself. Larry Fitzgerald, not a great day against the Rams, 7.
Yeah, about time that caught up.
He's a strong play candidate. I don't know if he's a starting wideout candidate. Travis Kelce didn't have a good game against Cincinnati. Tyler Lockett and Thomas Rawls, the flex players, both from Seattle. We know what their offense did. A little bit of home cooking there for Zach.
So is a defensive player.
Yes, but Earl Thomas... That's a solid play, even though he didn't necessarily score a ton of points. Texans defense, -4.
You'll never see that again in a long time.
Our podcast outscoring the Texans D by 4.
Way to go, Jamie.
I think what hurt here is Larry Fitzgerald and Travis Kelce have just been lighting the league on fire. I don't think either of them has scored under 9 points in any given week, and then this week they come up with 9 total.
Yeah, Travis Kelce, 22-5, 10-2 are his weeks. Larry Fitzgerald, 8, 29, 25, and 7. These are the least powerful weeks for these particular players.
Yeah, nothing on the bench for Seattle either, as Zach is stuck in the NFC West a little bit with Lance Kendricks, who's the second tight end in St. Louis, and Benny Cunningham, who's not even in the rotation really anymore with Todd Gurley getting most of the snaps. And man, Todd Gurley, he came to this league to play. Nice game for him in St. Louis's win against the Cardinals. Meanwhile, the Bazookas, they've got answers. Should there ever actually be a login? Mike Wallace is on the pine there. He had 14 last week. Carson Palmer's there for the inevitable Phillip Rivers bye week, which I'm sure will be the week where Justin scores 17 points. You know what's pitiful about this is we've been in contact with Justin today, Gary and I, and neither of us actually told him to log in. Who did he play next week?
We'll find out in the preview.
Maybe this might work for the show. Never know. Next up on the docket, the Teal Ninjas traveling to Buffalo, dropping one. The last unbeaten comes down 77-62.5.
Buffalo Wild Bills led by Vincent Jackson out of Tampa Bay. That's 20 points. That's something that I don't think we've heard his name mentioned in any meaningful football conversation for about two seasons now. Still a good player, though. 19 out of Cam Newton, 12 out of Charles Clay, only 77 points. It wasn't like this was an earth-shattering performance. They just caught the right team, whereas the Teal Ninjas just... not a lot going on. Antonio Brown's problems we talked about. Only 4 points for Antonio Brown. Chris Johnson had a nice game as far as yardage goes, but nothing. Didn't get in the end zone against the Rams. Mike Vick, 13 points.
He has a lot of faith in Mike Vick.
Yeah. I'm checking the rest of his roster here. He was sitting Todd Gurley. There's 15 points that could have played.
He sat Bridgewater.
Sat Teddy Bridgewater, which... didn't make much of a difference.
3 more points.
Yeah, against that Denver defense, that's not necessarily a bad play. Yeah, Martavius Bryant, I don't know if he got into that game a whole lot against Baltimore. And Andre Ellington did not play against the Rams, so not a lot of help there, even on the bench past Gurley.
I really don't know how much playing time Ellington's going to get behind both the Johnsons.
True. He's filler at this point. It's a questionable roster spot. The Wild Bills were a bit pretty consistently strong. They're 3-1 themselves, part of that logjam in the Dixon division. A lot of strength in those flex spots for them. They were sitting Martellus Bennett and Gio Bernard. It was only a matter of time before Martellus Bennett got his season on track. Same thing with Bernard, and so that's going to give them a lot of options going forward.
Well, you would expect Martellus Bennett with Alshon Jeffrey questionable and Jay Cutler back and healthy. He is, at this point in time, the number one downfield receiver for them. So
he's really just a stud anyway.
I mean, even at this point, if you're convinced Charles Clay is your tight end, you're going to want to put Martellus Bennett in one of your flex spots.
Yeah, agreed. Charles Clay is a big part of things in Buffalo, but I'm real leery of any of those Buffalo skill players not named LeSean McCoy, and even he's hurt. They're going to go as Tyrod Taylor goes, and some weeks that's going to be okay, and some other weeks that's not going to be okay. If the rest of the season bears out like the first 4 weeks have. But moving forward to Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt, stretch to the limit. Before dropping to the horror show, 67-66.
It's like one of Chuck's shirts on his review.
It's not Gary's Boss Fight sports bra. It's Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt. Aaron Rodgers leading the way with 17 points. Kind of a down week for him against the Niners this week, even though it was a pretty easy Green Bay victory. Peyton Manning did even less for the horror show. Just a bad week there. 8 points out of the quarterback spot for him. So you'd figure that would be an edge to the t-shirts, but not so much, as the rest of the roster did not provide a whole lot of help.
Let me get my take on Peyton real quick. Peyton, you know now in his new offense that he's just not going to get as many points as he used to in the past. But it's one of those damned if you do and damned if you don't, because you gotta start him. It's like Rodgers, it's like a Brady's, it's Peyton Manning, you gotta start him. But when you do, it seems like in this day and age, or in this particular offense he's playing in, it's a real big gamble of which is going to return on you.
Yeah, I would like to add too that how stupid is Gary Kubiak? I mean, I am not going to sit here and tell you that Peyton Manning is the same player he was 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. But, wow, when you've got a 40-year-old quarterback who's been playing in the shotgun for 10 years and he's the most prolific passer, he will be the most prolific passer in league history by the end of the season.
And you want him to play under center.
And you are changing up his style of play to meet yours? You're a bad coach.
Hey, they went to the pistol, man. They went to the pistol.
Yeah, you're a bad coach.
But we knew that.
Yeah, we did. I thought he was a smarter coordinator than that, but he is not. Jamal Charles, 14 points. Packers defense with 16 points, leading the way for
Boom, there it is. Right there, 16 points. The Packers defense, relatively same amount of points as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's where I lost this one.
Because you had the Colts. I mean, 13 points is nice. They only gave up 13 against Jacksonville, but didn't do anything, really, when they were on the field. They only gave you 2, so you lost that matchup by a whole lot. Not doing a whole lot in your starting spots. 5 out of Jay Stu, 5 out of 3 out of ODB, as he was useless against the Bills. 3 out of Larry Donnell, as some of those other tight ends.
Check it out, Gary. 11 points. Pierre Garçon.
Pete the Waiter showing signs of life. As expected, Paul Posluszny, having a nice season in Jacksonville, has finally gotten injured, which is what he does. will probably not be a nice defensive player again.
So, Jamie, any thoughts before we move on to the next game?
No, because if you score 66 points, you can't be all that mad about losing. It was really fun rooting for Amir Abdullah to get 30 yards of rushing instead of 40 last night. That was fantastic.
Well, you can tell somebody's into fantasy football maybe a little too much. And then this is I'm going to call this last week's game of the week because it's the only one that looked normal. Darklonia 99 over Charlottesville 85.
A pedestrian score.
Yeah, a normal score. We're just used to this. Dan Uffman picked the wrong week to have 85 points. He'd have beaten about anybody else in the league. Tough start for Uffman at 1-3. He got 16 out of Matt Ryan, 24 out of Jeremy Hill, 22 out of Chris Ivory from the Jets.
I thought we were going to see that again, but apparently not.
No, apparently not
okay.
At all.
Gary, the bet's three times. That's two. That's two, Gary. It's two.
Darklonia rode to the win, though, behind the monster Devontae Freeman game. 32 points made up for Colin Kaepernick, only giving him 8 in Tom Brady's off week. How bad would this have been if Tom Brady was playing? 16 for DeAndre Hopkins as he found his way into the end zone. Ladarius Green with 11 points out of the tight end spot. He might have been the best tight end on the fantasy stat line last week.
That's probably the last good week for him.
Yeah, he's okay. He's gonna sit behind Antonio Gates on passing down. And Alec Ogletree for 12 points out of the defensive specialist spot. That's gonna come to a stop as he left the game injured.
He is done.
Yeah, that's a big loss for that Rams team, but a really big loss for Darklonia because that's a guy who is gonna get you double digits most every week.
8, 17, 11, and 12 so far his point totals for the year.
Put the icing on that one, because that was a knee, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yep, he's out for the year.
Let me give him a suggestion for a defensive player. He should take Cameron Jordan, and that way he has Jordan Cameron on his team, and he has the whole Ruxin situation from last year.
I don't think he needs to be taking advice from us. He's 3-1 and for the most part blowing everybody away thanks to Tom Brady's right shoulder. That's why I wouldn't be any good if I had a team of my own. You could give me the first pick and you could say, well, you got to take Tom Brady, and I'd still fight it.
Me too.
Either way, I bet you'd have made a better choice than this year's number one pick. Just saying.
going after Debbie again.
Oh, I'm going to edit out my laughing. Oh.
Shame on you, Jamie. Don't say things like that. I got you, Gary.
Bad Jamie.
My bad, Gary. We'll let that happen again. I will back off your woman.
No, you're on your own. I'm just saying I can't laugh.
So let's take a look at the standings after week 4. The Hammer Division is where things are a little bit more contested. New England leading the way at 3-1. Pyramid of Touchdowns and Fort Wadsworth tied for second at 2-2. Jamie and the Keel Hauls, Oregon Outpost 788, and the Paris Nanomites. Four-way tie for third, or you could say four-way tie for crap at 1-3.
I'm the best of the worst, baby.
Woo! Woo! You're going to make me pull out the flare sound effect again, aren't you?
Yes.
Always.
Wait, what? Why were you not?
Woo! Sorry.
5 teams with 3 wins. Darklonia, Long Island, Buffalo, Springfield, Seattle, all 3-1. The Horror Show at 2-2, and the Chuckbusters at 0-4. Come on, Tyrone Sams!
Come on, man!
Can't put the Chuckbusters with the Chucko. It's just wrong.
It's kind of like mixing Transformers and G.I. Joe.
So what's going on next week, Mike?
Taking a quick look around, we've got the Crapo Bowl between your team and playing host Charlottesville. The Keel Hauls, a 20-point favorite in this game.
That is a non-HD CBS game just for your region.
Yeah, that's a home market only. I don't even know who the announcers for the F team are anymore. That's how bad those are.
It used to be Gus.
It's been a bunch of guys who've climbed up the ladder, you know, for a while.
Isn't it that Spiro guy?
Even he's moved up now. It was Iron Eagle for a while. It was, you know, just guys. They bring them along. You know, this is like probably the John Lynch game at this point. Whoever they pair up with John Lynch, because he's terrible. Fort Wadsworth plays host to the Chuckbusters.
Chuck Buster's actually 16.5-point favorites. I imagine they're going to do a little bit better this coming week with without Andrew Luck in the lineup, or with Andrew Luck in the lineup, expected to play Thursday night.
Not worried.
You know, you always say that weeks before you choke on one.
No, not worried on this one.
Buffalo flies out to Oregon. The 3-1 Wild Bills against the Outpost 788, 1-3. Buffalo a 39-point favorite in this game. I don't think we've seen a spread like that so far this year.
Well, let's take a look at a preview. He might not have played his bye guys yet.
Yeah, he's got two bye guys. He's got Cam Newton and Blair Walsh versus a full list at this point.
He's got to do some roster shuffling. What's that term again, Jerry?
Roster baiting.
I know. It makes him so happy when he gets to say it. I had to throw that one to Gary.
Can we slot shame anyone yet?
No. Yeah. It might be a little early. Might be a little. You know, everybody's still kind of bunched up at 3-1 and 1-3. It's a little early.
We got a couple game of the week, though.
Debbie's Paris Dynamites fly into Springfield to see the Teal Ninjas. Teal Ninjas cooling off. They're down to 3-1 now. Debbie is an 11 point favorite going into this one.
That's
going to
be a hard flight because you know no airlines go to Springfield.
No, we know for a fact that nobody flies into Springfield.
So everybody meet the Nanomites at the train station. Brought to you by Amtrak.
We play host to the Bazookas. No login bowl.
No.
I hope Rock busses him up pretty good.
Yeah, go Rock, go.
We are rooting for Rock Mastrangelo this week. Godspeed, sir. May you walk with the Lord.
Adrian Peterson's on bye, so there's a chance.
That'll pair up nicely with the injured guys that Justin refuses to shuffle out of his lineup.
Is Alden Smith still in the lineup?
I don't know. I think that was preseason, though, so I think before we actually
start, Justin did man.
The horror show flies out to a pyramid of touchdowns to settle out some 2-2 hash. We'll call that the Pretenders versus Contenders game. And lastly, our game of the week. It's going to be Darklonia and the high-flying Privateers visiting Seattle to see the 3-1 Dreadnoughts. We might as well call them the Seahawks at this point, from Zach Hoffman.
The Seahawks?
The Seahawks. But 3-1's a piece there. So, gentlemen, we'll start with Jamie on this one. Your thoughts through week four in the fantasy league or the NFL or what have you. Just thoughts in general.
I'm going to need my fantasy football defense to stop giving up so many points. As I have the most points against by a good margin here, besides Debbie. If we could stop doing that, that would be great. In the regular NFL, I think the biggest thing here is that I think we all kind of overestimated either through either injury or just we're used to Baltimore and Pittsburgh being good. But Cincinnati through the first 4 weeks has really looked good. You know, we'll see if that holds up.
Agreed. Those Bengals they're playing well on both sides of the ball. It's all clicking for them. Dalton's spreading the ball around pretty well. A.J. Green is A.J. Green, and that defense is back to having some teeth like it did 2 years ago.
Make sure this microphone's on.
No, they won't.
Well, one thing to note for fans of Cincinnati, it's October. Still plenty of time to piss this division away. But Gary, your thoughts through week four.
Real NFL, I'm having a fun time watching, of all teams, the Cardinals. I don't know why. Also in the real NFL, Seattle is a whole lot of bark and not a lot of bite offensively. They need to figure that out. I'm going to have fun watching the fantasy matchup between the horror show and the Pyramid of Touchdown. Those are two playoff teams from last year, so you got two guys that know how to massage their rosters, and we'll see how that one turns out. And hope someone this week gets over 100 points. Hopefully that's me.
Come on now. You just said massage the roster. That's not what you meant.
I meant roster.
I meant what you did. I know you love it.
Thank you.
The Cardinals are fun, though. They make a lot of things happen, either because they love to throw long or the defense creates a lot of turnovers. But they are always entertaining. I will spot you that one, no question. Here in St. Louis, we're still wondering, like we have the last couple of seasons, who are the Rams? They show up and look great 1 week, and then they'll go out next week and lose to some also-ran by about 50 points.
I was real impressed with Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Todd Gurley looks like the real deal to come out and do that pretty much in your first week of practice. Yeah, that was a good defense. The speed of the league doesn't seem to be an issue for that guy. And that's a good defense to be throwing 100 yards on the board against. So Todd Gurley rightfully has a lot of folks excited here in the local area. Me personally, enjoyed watching the Giants pick up the upset win on the road. I still don't think that they're going to be very good. Is that wrong?
No.
It's too early.
It's too early, but no. I think from us here in Indianapolis, the big question, man, is are the Colts going to suck all year long?
Well, yeah, they kind of sucked all last year, too, but they play in the AFC South, so they're going to suck and win 10 games.
We're going to get our 6 wins. We're going to go to the playoffs 6-10.
The first double-digit loss team to make the postseason.
Fair enough.
Awesome. Indianapolis-wise, I'm ready either for us to get on with the season and meet expectations or just implode now, get it over with, get to the offseason, get the draft pick, get the new coach, and I pray that, there we go, that Ursay also wakes up one day from one of his Vicodin stupors and says, you know what? Greason sucks too, and get rid of him as well.
Just clean it out. I am not impressed with his acumen nor his ability to...
They made him executive of the year his first year, but when you draft Andrew Luck, Kobe Fleener, and T.Y. Hilton in your first draft...
There was a massive payoff in his first draft, especially on the offensive side of the football. When you figure that Dwayne Allen came out of that draft, what's his name, Vic Ballard, the tailback, was hurt a lot, but he did give him the one good year there right out of the gate, was in that draft. There was all kinds of offensive talent there, but he hasn't done anything since except, you know, trade for Trent Richardson, alienate his coach and coaching staff. I really think that the reason that Colts team... The reason that he's got a Executive of the Year award is because Chuck Pagano got sick and Bruce Arians was his head coach for a season.
And Andrew Luck was the starting quarterback.
You don't blow that pick. If he had blown that pick, he would already be on the street. So, Gary, or Jamie, I know Joe Philbin is already on your couch, but, you know, get another couch. Let's...
Well, they had a toe for me, would you please?
He's here. Alec Ogletree's here.
Alec Ogletree has a job. He has a job. He got hurt.
He just heard the couch was the place to be, brother. You know that, man. The place to be.
The couch has never been opened up to injured players. The couch is opened up to bad ones who lose their job.
Well, the problem is that Trent Richardson's just taken up shop. So...
might be time to turn him loose, man. He got that first round money.
He's like, hey, Trent, move over, bro.
I told him he's going to have to go get a union job at Kroger, at least start paying for something.
Do you want Trent pushing around those carts in that parking lot?
Okay, I have a crap car. I don't care. I'm all right.
Because you're the one with the crap car.
He would be running them into every light post in the place.
And swear there wasn't one there before.
Jumping out at him.
Oh, my God.
Got off on a huge tangent. Let's get out of here.
That's beautiful. Take us home, Mike.
Any time we can talk about Trent Richardson walking shopping carts into streetlights,
you got to take that one. That's a left turn you got to make.
Roll Tide.
It's time to go. Let's get out of here.
On behalf of everyone on the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League podcast, Gary Godso, Jamie Johnson, this is Mike Irizarry reminding you to beat Chuck. Just by playing. Have a good rest of the week.